You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. You see something big like that, you figure, well, maybe it'll come charging.
There were these prints out in ball club.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these siren-type screams.
But it is
size and everything else, they just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody turned
their
manufactured
the hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot.
The creature lives.
Bigfoot lives. A movie.
Right now.
At
www.
searchingforbigfoot.com.
What you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the cypress knee, and he was talking to Moccasin Joe. Found a party they gon' have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Star.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Biscardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
Hey, Marco. I'm top drawer, buddy. Top drawer. You know, there's all this action going on, and, you know, we're hearing it in the news everywhere we go. You know, I'm back here in the southeast. And I've got to tell you, I've told everybody in the past, I've told them presently, and I'm going to tell you in the future, we know where these things are going, and now there's action happening all over the country again. That's right, again. And, you know, it hit headlines, national headlines today, over there in North Carolina, Tim Peeler, the mountain man. Well, we've got him on the show, hopefully, here. I talked to him today. Fascinating story. Those of you who have not seen it, Marco Bill will put it up on the websites here. You'll see it. It's totally incredible. This is the third encounter. You'll hear it right from him, from the horse's mouth. We're also going to talk to Brian out there in Florida. He just had a sighting himself, you know, an unemployed land surveyor. I'm telling you, folks, it's out there. It's happening. As we speak, it's going on, unbelievable. Okay, I'm out here, and you know the weather ain't too good where we're at, but I'll tell you right now, it is incredible. There's action going on. I just can't tell you as of yet. I'm just going to be sure as hell before I open my mouth. But I'll tell you, the only reason why I agreed to come on, you know, it's 10 o'clock where I'm at right now, after 10 o'clock. But I wanted you guys to hear it, so we've got the scoop. We've got the story about this Tim Peeler, P-E-E-L-E-R. Those of you who don't know the story, don't have your ears on, or you're under a rock, here is a man that it just happened last week, a week ago tomorrow, on Thursday. He had a personal encounter. It's the third time. We actually poked the creature with one of his big walking sticks, He saw the thing up close and personal. He's going to tell us the whole story. Now, we call him the Mountain Man. He's a preacher, okay? He's going to be the second story coming in. Before we go any further, because we got a chock full of people here, folks, and I can only stay for a certain time because I'm out in the field here tonight myself. But nevertheless, we're going to go out to Florida. We're going to talk to Brian. Here's the unemployed land surveyor who contacted me, and I thank him with all my heart. Brian, you out there?
Got to unmute him.
Hello?
Yep. You're there, Brian.
Hey, you got me?
Brian? Yes.
Yeah, I hear you guys. How you doing?
Good, good. Fantastic, Brian. Listen, thanks so much for taking from your busy schedule out there and joining us tonight. I kind of let everybody in on it about what happened, but I don't want to take from your glory. So why don't you be kind enough, if you would.
Yeah, I'm calling in. Yeah, I'm calling in because I want answers myself, what I've seen. You know, I figured maybe your guest or whatever could maybe even help me out, what I've seen. But what I've seen, I was fishing last Saturday down there on the top of the Everglades, and I was pretty. It was hot out. It was maybe 11:30, 12 o'clock, the latest. I was done fishing. It was just too hot for me. And I was just leaning against my car, looking across the canal, and sure enough, this small, like Bigfoot thing came out of the woods. And it was only probably like 5'5", if that, pushing it. And it was big, though. It was a big boy. It was almost like 300 pounds. He only took about 3-4 steps off the trail, and then he went right back into the brush. But I seen him clear as day. He had long hair. It was dark, maybe a dark brown. But he had like you could see his skin because he had like the mange, like how a dog gets a mange. And he just looked a little sick. That was pretty much all I got, but I saw enough that I knew it wasn't a bear or any type of other animal. That was an ape, some type of ape.
It kind of blew your mind, didn't it, Ryan?
Yeah, it's still blown. It sure is.
I understand. Listen, everybody who's had the encounter, it affects them that way. You know, I'm going to tell you a story about one of our guys up in Pennsylvania. Kenny.
Mm-hmm.
Ever since he's had that encounter that he's had, it hasn't left him at all. And let me tell you something. He's been ridiculed. He's been in the dead center of all this media and what have you.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you what's happening. The good thing, Brian, since you and I have talked.
Good.
The national news just came up with the guy, Tim. From North Carolina. That's just right up the coast from where you're at, you know. You go draw a straight line straight up.
Mm-hmm.
It proves one thing, that these things are on the move as we're speaking, and they're coming out. Okay, they're hungry.
Yeah. And
they're hungry.
Since last Saturday, I've been into the Sasquatch maybe 3 days now since I've seen it. I never even thought really twice about it. You know, and for what I've seen, I don't think that was a full-grown one either, that I've seen. I think that was a baby.
I know.
And you know what they say about babies? There's the mother or the father's right there.
You bet. It's called Family Pod, Brian. And you know what? I'm going to tell you this. You know, I'm spending some time down here. I'm probably going to end up in minus the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
At the same point in time, I'll probably come on back down to Florida, visit with you, and see what you got going. And
yeah.
Of course, back to where I'm at now. But,
just do that.
You know, I'll tell you this, Brian. I want to thank you again for me. Do you have your radio on, Brian? Is that what's that going on?
No, I'm on my cell phone. I don't know where the feedback's coming from, really.
Okay.
I'm not even by the computer at all. I'm just sitting in my room with the phone.
How's the weather over there by you?
Right now it's hot and humid. Kind of disgusting.
Okay. All right.
Real nasty.
Yeah. I know. I had some crazy weather where I was last night. You know, it rained and hailed, believe it or not.
Mm.
And that freaking humidity was just terrible.
Yeah, that's the killer here right now, is the humidity. Got to drink a lot of water out here.
Yeah, you get dehydrated quicker than hell. All right, well, listen, thanks for sharing your story with me. And look here, just mute yourself out. Listen up. We got a lot more coming down the pike here. And I'll be in touch with you real soon, and we'll get together, okay?
All right, we'll do that. Appreciate you.
God bless you, man. Thanks so much for contacting me.
Have a good night. Bye.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Brian from Florida, unemployed land surveyor. He knows what he saw. There was no bear. He knows what it was. It's some kind of ape. I told you guys before, they're on the move. They're on the move. Now, we've been having problems trying to get a hold of Tim. We've been on the phone with him most of the day, Marco and I. Marco, do we got him on?
No, he's not on. His phone is still busy.
Ken, I can hear you.
I'm sorry, Chris Allen.
The echo's between me and you, probably being so close, so we got to separate a little bit.
Oh, this is Tommy.
Oh, hi, hey, son. Yeah, move. He's in the next room.
Yeah, I'm figuring. I'm listening. Going, wait a minute. The echo must be us being so close together. Okay.
Yeah. Okay, son. Listen. My son, and his friends down here have been doing some incredible stuff, okay? And I got to tell you right now, okay, I never knew these caves went so far. Huh. Tommy, how far do you think they're going now?
You know, we haven't figured it out yet. They're very deep, very far, and from what I've explored, at least a mile that we've been. But, you know, since we don't have maps knowing how far they go and when they come out at, you know, we've encountered raccoon, coyotes in these caves, you know, and it's slow going. It really is. Like I told you before, you know, I'm going to go as fast as I feel like going through these caves because they're, number one, they're miners' caves. They're off limits. They're a little bit, you know, they're collapsed and all this crap. So we're gonna move a little bit away. We're not gonna get to the point where it's dangerous, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I'm just like I told you, you know, a half hour ago, son, it's blowing my mind to see that up and down the East Coast now we're getting signs of these things like crazy. And they're coming out and they're feeding. You know, they're traveling the waterways.
You know, I worry about running into one of these creatures in an area where we can't defend ourselves. They're going to worry. They're going to be on the defensive. They're not used to us climbing through their home. It would be like, you know, somebody at their own house, you know, walking through a hallway. Here we are. Wait, surprise. Hello. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's going to take some time. It may take months. You know, it's just the way it is.
Yeah. Well, you know, like we've been talking, son, and that's why I worry when I'm out there with you, and it just bothers me to no end that, you know, I don't want to use the word crazy, but I guess you are. You're like a chip up the old man's block. But, you know, when I can't see you when we get down in those tunnels, and I can't fit because you can, and then I don't hear from you, it just worries the hell out of me. And then about 10 minutes later, you'll pop up or you'll talk, and then I know exactly what you're doing. But I just want us to be safe down here. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. You know, when we got here and we checked the area out, everything told me to my core it was bare. You know, there was bear crap everywhere. You know, before you got here, when we were driving out, John told me, I was with John and Robert, they told me, they go, stop. So we stopped on top of this ridge, and we were hearing these callbacks. We had spent 2 hours calling, beating on trees. And, you know, the callbacks were, I was wondering, because Robert was ahead of us, so I stopped the truck, and I'm like, it has to be Robert calling, because he's mimicking me, he's parroting me, and we were hearing whoop, 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 I'm going, it has to be Robert. Don't get excited. It must be him way up ahead of us. Well, we drove a little farther. We caught the Robert. And as we got there, we stopped. And I'm like, Robert, are you mimicking me? Are you making noises? Are you callbacking on my whoops out here? He's like, no. And right as we're sitting there, you know, truck to truck, window to window, we hear it again. So I whoop three times, and we get a whoop three times back. Let me tell you something. Both of these guys, they're new to this because they never heard it, they never seen it. They're going, whoa. Their hair was standing up on their arms. They were outside going, do it again, do it again. And we did it again. We got the repeat back of the whoops. Now, was it Bigfoot? Who knows? But there are no parrots out there. There's no birds out in these woods that are going to repeat exactly the sound, the tone that I call out. Now, normally, we're going to wonder. We were driving out, and I was going, well, it's all bear. It's bear. There's bear. Because we heard nothing for 2 or 3 hours. Okay? Tops was now 2 hours. Tops was 2 hours. There was nothing of it. But we saw bear poop everywhere. I heard stories of guys that were pot growers with ghillie suits and night vision looking for people, you know. But as we drove out, there was a few things that kind of perked my attention. And, you know, we're going to continue to keep looking. You know, and like you know what I mean?
Well, son, you know, I'm not saying too much because I don't want too much to be said right now, like I said at the top of the hour. But I'm here for a reason, and I know what's been done down here. I know what's been seen. I know what you saw, and I know what you've done, okay? And I'm not going to make it out there for publication, but I'll tell you this, folks, all right? I'm still here. There's a reason for that. Now, everybody knows about... Let's see if Marco, Bill. Marco, did you get him yet?
Tim? No, we don't have him, Tom. We got Chris Allen ready.
All right, hold on.
We'll just go along with the show, and then as I try to get him... His phone is busy. He may be been
okay.
By news people and stuff like this.
Of course. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you, Tommy, well, I got you on the line, too, so you'll hear it. You've been hearing it all day with me, but you didn't hear what's happened since I've talked to the guy. Ladies and gentlemen, I've talked to this guy. His name is Tim Peeler, P-E-E-L-E-R. It's Western North Carolina, not far. Well, actually, it's the city that he actually lives in is a thing called Kezar, North Carolina. He's about 45 miles, to give you a viewpoint, of Charlotte, 50 miles. Asheville, and we've been to both of those areas. If you go to the website there, you'll see under the table of contents. He lives in a makeshift kind of place that he's built on his own, but he's 18,000 miles of game land behind him. He's in between the Smoky Mountains National Forest, and he's in the South Mountain Range of North Carolina. And this is the third time that he's had an encounter with these creatures. The closest was a week ago tomorrow, last Thursday at 3 o'clock in the morning. And I'm going to parrot his story for you, unless he comes on by the time I leave. It was 3 o'clock in the morning, and his dogs were barking. He went out on the porch because he heard coyote sounds also. And as he was watching his dogs point out to the area, because they were like his directional for him at 3 o'clock in the morning, he, at that point in time, saw at the forest edge, which isn't too far away from his house, if any of you guys have seen the news clip, he saw this thing covered with hair, and he has a big walking staff that he has, and when he heard the coyotes, he has a game caller, he used it, and he saw where the coyotes were taunting this creature. But what happened, why the creature came into his area where he lives, he saw that it was coming in after one of his dogs, apparently maybe eat one of them. So he came out and he yelled at the thing, and believe it or not, he actually touched the thing's body with this long staff. The staff is about, I don't know, 8-10 feet tall, which he's saying, he told me the creature was about 8-10 feet. And he says that was the third time. And he's gone through a lot of the media, a lot of the newspapers and all that. As a matter of fact, I gave 3 interviews, one in Toronto, one upstate New York, and I defended the guy. Don't even know him. Sounds like a top drawer guy. He said he's a preacher also. So we're going to wait here. I'm sending one of my guys that are up in that area as we speak, going up there, because I've got too much to handle down here with my boy, and to see if there's anything still live going on. And then, you know, you can make a triangle. You can take Kentucky to North Carolina to where Brian is down there, 30 miles of Fort Lauderdale, and just come back to Kentucky. There's a triangle right there, folks, in which things are happening right now as we speak. So I'm telling you, these things are on the move, just like I had told you in the past. So if things are happening, and Tommy, I'm going to talk to Chris here, maybe Jen, and then we can hit the road. So I want everybody to know about this Tim Peeler. I don't know why he couldn't get on. Well, it's rural area, okay? And Marco has problems getting him on somehow or something. I don't know. Has he come back on yet, Marco?
Tom, his phone has been busy for the last half hour.
It has, huh?
Busy.
Okay. All right. Well, no problem. If he gets on, he gets on. If not, we'll get him on another time.
Well, talked to him just before the show. So I talked to him just before the show, so it's somebody called.
You did?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, everybody's talking about now is, you know, they'd love to see the clip, Marco. So if you could put it up on the website there, I'd appreciate it, would you?
Yeah, I'll do that right after the show.
Okay, fantastic. All right, well, without any further ado, Tommy, get ready because we're going to be moving out. Let's get out there to Chris Allen.
Yeah, I got to unmute Chris here. Hold on.
Okay. We're going to go out to West Virginia, ladies and gentlemen.
Chris, you're on, aren't you?
Hey, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Hey, Chris, how you doing, buddy?
Doing awesome, Tom. How are you doing? Long time.
Well, yeah, it's, I don't know if you've been listening to the show or not, but it's happening again, okay? Just like I said, it's happening again, all right? There's a triangle going on right now. Right now, you can't miss it, okay? There's a triangle going on right now. We've got the North Carolina, we got Kentucky, and we got Florida.
Yeah,
and I've said it all along, okay? They're coming out of their migrational pattern, okay? They're coming out to feed, and they're coming out to travel. Brian has a family pod down there. It's very evident, okay? I know what the hell's going on down here in Kentucky. It's incredible down here also, all right? And now here's this man out of the blue, and he called 911. He called 911, and the sheriff's, you know, deputy came out. As a matter of fact, I talked to him. I'm going to be talking to him again tomorrow in the morning. And the guy feared for his own life.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, I got a lot happening down here. Tell me what's going on up there in West Virginia.
We've had a lot of whoopings, rocks throwing, a lot of rocks being thrown at us on some of the trails that we hike, because, as you know, summertime coming around, we always get out in the woods and hit the trails. I normally hike at least 30 miles every week, and me and my family, we get out there and just search for, you know, evidence, something out there. Although it's hard to get a lot of people to go out there with me at nighttime, I'm not sure why. I put blogs on my MySpace site, which I get, you know, lots of traffic on my MySpace sites, is asking people for their stories or input. I've had so many people write me and tell me stories almost identical to what you hear on the show, where it's all around us. There's no doubt they're all around us. And some of these people that, you know who you could believe and who you could listen to and what stories are legitimate and what stories are not legitimate. But when you have like a almost a retired age school teacher that lives at the holler up here called Cannleton Holler, This is outside of the Montgomery area, and she was telling us, because she doesn't really know other than just some stories she heard, that there's a bear man living in the woods. And she said that I've heard out there in my backyard, which they have 30 acres of property up, way up in the woods, and she said that every once in a while you'll hear something out there make a noise out there. And she said way before you hear the whooping sound in the woods, she said all my dogs, and she has a lot of dogs, will get completely ghost quiet and go in their house, like their dog house, like they're frightened to death. And I could relate to that because I've been in the woods where my dogs have did identical things to this. And we found some really hot spots in this area that, you know, I think would be probably go out with some high-tech equipment at nighttime. And the trails are easily accessible, even with a wheelchair, to get out into the woods to a certain spot. There's a town called Anstead, just right outside. It's at the foot of Hawk's Nest. You can take a tramway down to the bottom, or you can take a road to the bottom. And right at the bottom is the end of this trail that's several miles long out in the woods. And it's got cascading waterfalls everywhere out on this trail. And it's a rail trail. It used to be an old railroad track. And it's extremely beautiful, pristine water. I mean, you find hellbenders and different wildlife and the water that shows you that's actually clear water. If you can find a helgramite in the water, you know it's clean water. And so we just got a lot of hot places out here that, you know, sooner or later it's going to break, Tom. Somebody's going to have this beast. They're going to have more than just a photo of it. It's got to happen soon, because I believe that with all the people that you and people that we know elsewhere outside that are out looking for this, it's sooner or later somebody's going to stumble up on the mother load of this.
Yeah. Oh, I have no doubt in my mind. I have no doubt in my mind. You know, it's happening more and more. It's being more cited on a readily basis now due to the fact of the efforts of us and the other legitimate people out there in the brush. I got to tell you, the credence of Brian down there in Florida is incredible, all right? I don't know this man, Tim. I really don't know Brian neither, but I got to tell you, from what I've talked to him on the phone, and those of you who know me know that I pretty much know people, especially when I get to talk with them on a one-to-one basis. And, you know, Jabba Bob used to say all the time that if Tom Biscardi TOs them to me after a few seconds, I know it's exactly what we're dealing with. And he knows just like everybody else knows who know me, that's the way we work, all right? Well, we got some hot things happening out here now, ladies and gentlemen. And one of them hit, you know, national news, and it'll go all international, I'm sure. The guy's on the phone constantly. I did three interviews, like I told you guys, just of his story. But you stop and think about it. How far is West Virginia from North Carolina, Chris?
A couple hours.
There you go, a couple hours. Okay.
Yeah,
and we were at the area where he was.
Just outside of Bluefield, you're going to go through a part of Virginia and straight into North Carolina. I do shows in North Carolina on a regular basis out there. I've got a huge fan base in the area. And, by the way, I'm starting school in the town of Beckley. I'm going to college here in the next it's an open semester, so I'll be starting before fall to get my commercial pilot license, not to fly as a commercial pilot, but better yet, so I could be, you know, my dream is someday in my life is to move up towards Alaska and be a bush pilot outside of my music. And it's always been a fascination of mine, flying. And I keep thinking that sooner or later, if you're a pilot and you're flying a small Piper Cub or something, a slow-moving craft above the woods, you know, better yet the chance of seeing something, I believe.
Without a doubt. You know, I spent a lot of time with Ivan. And as a matter of fact, he used to go every summer to Alaska. He used to leave in June and used to come back in October, right before bear season. And I learned an awful lot from him. Awful lot from him.
Speaking of bear, Tom, you know, when you were here and we were up Rush Creek and you and I were walking up the creek and you spotted the bear in front of you?
Yeah.
Just over the mountain from there, I can't say it was that same bear, but it may have been. If you look on the local news in Charleston today, there was a bear attack in that same exact area that you and I were at. There is a homeless couple that was in a tent, and the bear flashed their tent all to pieces and came in the tent after them. They got away without any damage other than all their personal property. What they had to their name was ruined. So the bears are, as I mentioned before, the if you take away a lot of the
okay,
smaller
Tom,
that, feeding.
Tim on the line.
Okay. Listen, Chris, I don't mean to interrupt, but we got the man himself on the line right now. Tim, are you out there? We're going out to North Carolina, ladies and gentlemen. Tim, you there?
Hold on, I got to unmute. Okay, Tim, go ahead.
Tim, you out there?
Wait, it didn't unmute. Hold on here. Hold on, Tim, I got to unmute you.
Those of you, ladies and gentlemen, know what we're going through. It's quite an ordeal. Here we are all over the map of the United States, and here's something that just clicking, just happening. And on Bigfoot Live Radio Show, we got the actual man, ladies and gentlemen, that you've seen on TV and the media's news clip, and you'll be reading about it in the papers and, of course, on radio. Is he unmuted yet?
No, Tom, I'm on three phones, okay? I got one phone on my head for the show. I got a phone with him coming in. And so it's kind of difficult to coordinate this thing. I'll be right with you. If you could continue on, I'm trying to unmute him right now with the other phone.
Okay.
Tim's on the line. I may have to redial in. I don't know.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, you're just going through. You're hearing the logistics of what's actually going on. You know, I'm out here in the field, and Marco Bill is back there in San Diego area. Then we're talking to Chris. You still out there? He's in West Virginia.
Yeah, I'm still here. And by the way, Marco, congratulations on the way you're healing, buddy. That's some awesome news, setting a history there.
Well, the man is incredible. He's the true eye of the tiger. I got to tell you straight up, the guy has gone through hell, and he's comes back. You know, bounces. You know, you hear about cats having 9 lives. This guy's got 29 lives. And I'm so happy to know that he's a part of us, man. I'll tell you, he's straight up. But we're talking about. Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry.
Have you had a lot of experience with other people and yourself noticing this about the bears? Because a lot of my friends work with DNR. You know, all last summer we spent the entire summer and up into the late fall camping in Kanawha State Forest, where my wife works with DNR. And a lot of the DNR agents were talking about the same thing, that the bears have last several years have become greatly more aggressive, and we're starting to relay it to that it's their food chain is dying out, where something is taking over. Now, I know in the area here, which I've seen it firsthand, you have the gray wolf and the red wolf that are interbreeding with each other, and they're eating a lot of the smaller things. The bears are eating a lot of the nuts, berries, and the things that they'll find on the pawpaws, etc. The Gigantopithecus, the Blackfoots, they're eating whatever they could eat as well. So the food chain, going back to the bears, are becoming more aggressive, trying to find their food sources. And as the urban moves out, you have people with dumps and open sites where the bears become quite a bit more aggressive and, people not so scared of the people anymore. And so if this is going on in the bear country, I wonder what's going on in the Bigfoot area. Are they doing the same as well, becoming more aggressive?
You know, it's a great question that you pose, and I'm going to tell you something. It doesn't start down here. It goes all the way up to Alaska, where the polar bear, okay, at one point in time, used to be so plentiful, and I mean plentiful, okay? A ton of them. There used to be a ton of them, okay? And now you can go out. I used to go out with those big rigs, with those big tires, and because I was with Ivan at a lot of times, and they used to go out to the tundra, and they'd cook up bacon, and they'd be miles away, and they'd smell that bacon cooking, and my gosh, they'd all be rushing towards that big giant rig, and to that smell. And I venture to say there was 25, 30 of them at a time come around. Next thing you go to find out, as of today, I just talked to somebody 2 days ago up in Alaska, and they were telling me the same story, and they said they went out trying to photograph them just about 5 days ago, and they had to go so deep up or deep in that they only saw one, and they're traveling.
Hey, Tom, Tim is on.
Hey, Tim's there. Okay, we'll hold that thought. Tim, you out there, buddy?
Yeah, I'm here.
How are you? You okay?
Yeah, I'm doing good.
All right. Listen, thank you, first of all, for being with us tonight. I know that you've gone through a traumatic situation, Tim. And I've told all our listeners out there, we're out there to 32 countries and millions of listeners around the globe. And, you know, let me not take from your glory. So why don't you tell everybody what happened a week ago tomorrow, last Thursday at 3 o'clock in the morning?
Well, I'll try to start at the beginning.
There you go.
I could not sleep that night. I was watching TV in here at 3 a.m., you know, scanning the band, and my dog started barking. So I lift the back lights on. They're all barking in one direction. They're my radar. Whichever way they're barking, that's the way I know to look. Okay, I went out on the porch, and I heard some coyotes only about 100 yards from the house. I said, that's strange. And I'll come back in here, and I got my coyote collar, some collars all together, and made a couple calls. Everything got quiet. And then this creature, this Sasquatch, come out of the woods about, he wasn't 20 foot from me. I was standing on my front doorsteps at the timberline. And he went straight in the backyard to my another 20 feet to a little female dog that just come in heat. And she was so fast for him, she wrapped around his leg. And he got loose. And I had a big stick I used as a walking stick. And I hollered at him real roughly. I said, get away from here. And he went back in the woods. Okay. I couldn't believe it. I was trying to gather my thoughts, and I come back in here and sat down. Then the dogs took off again. I said, uh-oh. I went out the back door this time and lit up the backyard with my stick, and there he was again. Right at the dog's barrel, where I got it, a nice plastic barrel to sleep in. And I walked up to him. This thing was over 9.5 feet tall. He was a beautiful creature. He had grayish yellow hair way down. His beard, some plumb down to his groin. Yellowish gray and some black hair on him. And he was messing with my little dog. So I took my stick and I talked rough to him the second time and punched him. I said, get away. Get away from here the second time he comes. Okay, I'll come back in. Everything calmed down. I said, odds are he's coming back again. I'm calling 911. I'm going to get the law up here. I want them to see this thing. But just so they, in case, I mean, I didn't know whether I was going to have to kill this monster or what. I didn't want to. I didn't want to make enemies with him because I'd had encounters with him before. And they come up, but he never come back. They parked right in front of the path for where he come out at. But he was a beautiful creature. I wished I could get an artist to draw him and the color, the way he was colored, his long gray blonde hair, his long beard, his eyebrows, real bushy gray, grayish yellow, his mustache and all come down, same color.
Hey, Tim, let me ask you this. I don't mean to interrupt. Did he make any sounds? Did you get to see his eyes, nose, teeth?
He was brown-eyed, and he never made any sound. Except the first time when I went out to Coyotes, I heard him. I heard his signal. But I know how to call him now. I've had several encounters with him, and I know how to imitate his call. The only problem is if you call one, he will come aggressively.
Do you mean aggressively? What you mean, he's out there to fight, to harm you?
Yeah, he's territorial.
Now, do you know this firsthand, Tim?
Yes, I do.
Share it with my listeners.
Well, you may have to change locations several times till you get within hearing distance, which is a lot of problem in a wilderness area. I mean, you have to keep walking, calling, until you find him to answer you. And then you want to be quiet, because when he comes, he's coming aggressive. But once he sees, he backs off. I've never had any hostile or trouble out of him, except for my dog. I was in fear for my dog's life. I didn't know what he was going to do to my dog. That's the reason I run him off. I became aggressive to him. And, well, that's the only thing I know to do, you know. Right off hand, that's all I can take.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you think that the thing was trying to come and communicate with you?
No, I think it has something to do with my two female dogs and heat. Because he went to the dog. He went away from me to the dog, to the little female. She's 8 months old, and she come in to eat. That's unusual, but it happened. I think it had something to do, and she was barking. And he come while she was barking. And got, she was real fast and rounding around him and got her chain twisted around his one leg, and he got it out, and he left. I scolded him. I come back in here, and he come back again. Then I run him off again, and then I call 911. I said, when can you get me an officer up here as soon as possible? I said, this thing's up here messing with me. And my dogs, I'm in fear he's going to kill my dog. You know, but I said, I'm not going to kill this thing. I mean, he's not killed my dog yet, so I'm not going to kill him. But he was a male, I could tell, you know.
Well, did it have genitalia?
Huh?
It had genitalia?
Yeah. Yeah, you could tell he was almost humanoid-like, with a lot of hair covering his private parts. But I could tell that he was a male. And he had golden, like, gray hair on his head, and his beard come all the way down to his groin. That's how long his beard was. I mean, he was an old dude. I could tell by looking at him. He wasn't no young thing. He was old.
But it didn't seem to fear you at all, did it?
No. No, and I think he sensed that I did not fear him either.
Did it have a stench? Did it, Tim, did it have a smell?
Yes, it sort of smelled like a skunk. Because I got a whiff of it a couple times. But I guess these things, I don't know if they take baths or wash in the creek or whether they eat skunks or what. I don't know what makes them smell that way.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, Tim. I'm going to have somebody come out there and see you within the next 24 hours before I come out. And I'll tell you, it's an honor to have you with us on our show. Our listeners are marveling at what you're talking, and they're praying on every wish that you come out. I want my listeners to know that you're a, are you a deacon or a preacher or something?
No, I'm a self-proclaimed preacher called by God.
Well, that's good. That's just as good as the next one. That's for
God
sure.
God called me out loud.
Mm-hmm.
Out loud to help his people.
You bet. You bet. Yeah. Well,
I experienced salvation with the Holy Ghost. Then I experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the living water. He poured it out on me in here in the kitchen. And I did speak in a tongue, and it scared me. I slapped my hand over my mouth, and I said, "What did I say, God?" He said, "You are a babe. I am a babe in Christ." And praise God, I jumped up off the floor and hit the ceiling with my hands, praising God.
That's a beautiful thing, Tim. Let me ask you something else here. What happened when the sheriff came out? What did he actually say to you?
Oh, well, the deputies come in the house, and I talked with them a while, and I told them I appreciated them coming up. I said, "This thing, he's done been here twice." I said, "If you just wait just a minute, I believe you'll be back." But they waited a little bit, about 15 minutes, and I said, "Well, it don't look like he's coming back. He's done been back within 15 minutes." So they left. They didn't get to see him. But I got my camera ready now with my spotlight. I got it ready.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic. All right. Well, listen, I'll be in touch with you here in the next 24 hours for sure, and I'll have my guy that's up there in that area check things out. Was there any hair samples that it left on any trees or branches or any footprints, indentations in the ground?
No, it was all impossible. You'll see, if you look at the situation, it was all in leaves and grass in my yard, and I don't live but about 20 foot from the timberline of the wilderness here in the South Mountains.
I was telling my listeners, that, what is there, 18,000 miles of game land out there?
Well, there's 18,000 acres of game land, plus there's nearly 15,000 acres of North Carolina State parkland.
Oh, yeah, right. And what is that, 20 miles square?
Yeah. Yeah, you're looking at about 20 miles square where there's no highways.
Wow. Just incredible. Well, look, Tim, I can't wait to put a face with the voice and shake your hand. And the main thing I say to all of our listeners and our people who've had encounters, welcome to the world of Bigfoot.
Yes.
And before you know it, I'll be out there with you, and we'll see what we got, okay?
Okay.
All right. So, thank you so much. You might want to just mute yourself out. Got about 10 minutes more of the show, and we're going to get Jan Allen from Georgia and Alex from Arizona on, and we'll see what's happening there. I was only going to stay on for 20 minutes, but looks like I'll be here all night long. Thank you again, Tim. God bless you.
Okay, I'm going to hang up, right? I'm going to hang up,
Marco.
Now.
Okay.
Marco?
Yep, that's okay.
Okay. All right, Tim, thanks so much.
Okay, you're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Great guy, ladies and gentlemen. You see him on the news. I'm sure he'll be on the radios. And like I said, I was on three shows today just because of it. And, you know, we're going forth. We're forging forward, ladies and gentlemen. And we're doing it for the same reason that we started 5-6 years ago on a full-time basis. And, wow, it's just incredible. It just keeps on and keeping on. Where are we going next, Marco?
We need to go to Jan. And let me get him on here.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jan.
Jan, you out there, Georgia? Is he unmuted, Marco?
Yeah, well, it says he is. I don't know. Hold on.
I'll tell you what,
Tom. Let's see if we can go to Jody.
Okay.
See if she unmutes.
Jody, you out there?
Yeah, it's the same thing. Or I need to unmute them, and they're not unmuting.
Okay, what about Alex? He knows how to unmute.
There. Well,
I'm already unmuted for you.
You there?
I'm here, Pop. Already unmuted for you. I knew what you were going to do.
Yeah, pretty incredible stuff out here, isn't it?
Awesome, awesome. Everything is hopping. I'm on the chat room now with Rob, just sitting in the chat room talking. We're listening to the show. Incredible.
I talked to him earlier tonight because I'm sending him up with the other guy that we've got, and they're leaving tomorrow night because I got too much going on right here. And then I really want to get down there to Florida because it's just blowing my mind, okay? And if you look at that triangle and draw a triangle from Kentucky to Florida to where it's happening to North Carolina, and then you just go straight up the line to ask, you know, after hearing Chris Allen talk, and I'm sure Jan's got some action going on down there. It's the southeast right now. That's hot. It's happening. You know, I've said it all along. I couldn't say it any more than I've said it. And it's just driving me up a wall. It's just driving me crazy. And you know, I've stayed idle too damn long. You know, and the only way we're going to get it out there is find out the truth is getting out there. We ain't going to do it behind a computer or behind a desk, as you know.
Nope, you got to put boots on the ground and get out there. We got the same thing going on in Arizona, Tom, too. They seem to be moving into the higher elevation. We're getting reports of sounds and sightings or encounters in the higher elevations now, 7,500 and up, whereas before we were getting reports from all over the place. Now they seem to be centralized in the higher elevations, kind of like you'd expect, and probably what usually happens a lot earlier than this year.
Listen.
You know, Tom, for Jan and Jody, I can't unmute them. There's not enough time in the show to get them both on. I'll have them both on next week.
Okay. Well, ladies
and gentlemen,
Jan's
going on an expedition this weekend, and then I'll get Jody on next week again. Jody, sorry. Jan, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Alex, and you can finish the show. You got about 4 minutes, 3 minutes.
Well, I guess you guys all heard that, ladies and gentlemen. And Jan, if you can, you got your ears on, and Jody, you got your ears on. We're sorry, we don't know what happened here. We seem to keep having those mechanical difficulties for some reason or another. But you know what? This is this was a great scoop tonight, hearing from Tim Peeler. You know, you've seen him on the news. I saw him on Fox down here,
And then I've got all these emails from everybody saying, hey, Tom, have you seen this? Have you seen that? And thank you guys from all over the country who've seen it and tipped me off on it. And I thank my my other son out there, Jimmy Snell. He was the first one that came across the ticker tape with all the info and everything. And, of course, you know how I am, ladies and gentlemen. I get on it quicker than hell, which I have been. And I'll tell you straight up, it's been exciting. It's been real exciting. And what my son has down here has been exciting as hell also. It kind of feels good being out here with him again and the people that he's got down here. And I like the methodic touch on what the way he's doing it down here. And I'm trying to find out if there was any way we can get these cave and dwellings and how far they actually go. He thinks that it goes right up to Virginia's. Could be. You know, we're only a few miles from the next state over anyway. But I'll tell you what, Alex, you're right. I got a call from some people just yesterday, and I'm trying to remember the name of the commune. Not far. You remember the radio station where we're at on the Apache Reservation?
I sure do.
Okay, well, there was the schoolhouse on the next hill over. I can't remember that area, but they just had a sighting yesterday. The police department called me through AK. And by the way, AK sends his love to everybody, and he's mending real well. And there was a sighting there, and it's the ever-so-prevalent one with the tail that hangs from the trees, the one that supposedly that was hit by a car that there was a picture of one time when we were down there. We could never actually get it. We saw it one time on a phone, and we were asking if they could find it again for us, so we're going to try to put it on the air. But, you know, for some reason or another, it doesn't come to fruition. You know how the Indians are. They're very guarded in their possessions and don't like to share it with the world. But you're right. Things are happening, even though in the higher elevations, it's just totally incredible. It's just blowing my mind, too, as we speak. But I'll tell you what. Go draw that triangle and see what you've got there, because you're going to blow your mind. And it's happening more and more. I'll tell you that right now. I'm ecstatic about it, and I'm ecstatic to have beautiful friends and family that's involved in this thing, people who've been with me, people who are just joining me, and people who will be joining us in the near future. I want to thank each and every one of you guys from the bottom of my heart. Thank you, son. Thank you, Marco. Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Jan Allen. Thank you, Jody. Thank you, Chris. And thank you, Brian, from Florida. Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
1967, my whole life changed. I went to the libraries to find out all I could find out about Bigfoot. We went out to prove that this creature exists.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator. To see something big like that, I figured, well, maybe it'll come charging.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Yes, Bigfoot lives.
We're looking at something that's probably over 500 pounds.
We would hear screams, like break in day. We'd hear these xylene-type screams.
But it is
size and everything else. They just were too realistic
and
to be
frozen like a tree.
Somebody was manufactured.
The hand was freaking
into the woods.
Female.
Bigfoot creature lives. Bigfoot lives.
It's
a movie
right now.
At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monster Nation Mysteries.